Guided Tour by Evan Saldua and read by Peter Shillingford. The alarm went off, it's always on time. I've asked Merche to change the tone, I'm a bit tired of always waking up to Berricharrak. I don't really get our determination in the Basque country to listen to music from the past as if they didn't make new music now, as if there weren't new groups and styles. In bars and during festivities, it's always the same, or even worse. Okay, I'm not telling the truth. I do understand, of course I do. But I'm fed up, however bad it might sound for me to say that. Patting the touch-sensitive wall, Merche turns the music off. I'm still amazed by her ability to stay asleep no matter how loud the alarm clock rings. She doesn't get up until it's her turn. And today, seeing the small pile of files next to her computer, I shouldn't think that'll be very early. Sometimes when I get up and jump over her with the greatest care, although she always wakes up later, I'm the one who has to sleep on the side of the bed next to the wall because of that wretched little bit of claustrophobia she claims to have. I get an urge to pinch her, to shake her up a bit, to go to the kitchen and get a cup of water to throw over her. But I never do. Soon, she won't be able to carry on this way because she'll have to look after Lourdes, at least as long as she doesn't get a job like mine, which would force her to leave the house every day. Yeah, I know some people think that calling them by their name brings bad luck. There are still 3 months left before the birth, unless they bring it forward, of course. Which reminds me that I'm going to have to look at the current account Merche and I share to check she sent Jasmina her money on time. Last month it went out late because we were in the red for a few days, and we had a bit of a quarrel about that. And we should go and visit Jasmina sometime. It'll be for the best. But her block of flats is quite away from the metro station, up a hill in Errenteria, and Merche never fancies going out. Even less so since our car broke down and we left it at the garage for good. She spends too much time in her mouse hole, but I won't tell her off about that again. She'd tell me I'm a preachy witch once more, and she couldn't care less if I told her that's an oxymoron, at least from a historical point of view. I take longer to shower than usual today, as they say there'll be hot water for 4 hours longer than usual. I look through the micropress on the kitchen table screen while I have cereal, and Argentinian soya milk for breakfast. There's nothing special going on, only the usual sarcastic comments about Ivana Trump's primary campaign. I take on board the recommendation to use sunscreen, and, as well as using the right cream, I put on long leggings, even though they'll make me hotter than shorts would. I also look on the screen to see whether I'll have any groups in the afternoon, but things are the same as yesterday. That travel group from a squatter's district in Hamburg in the morning, on the long-term memory-guided tour. And nothing in the afternoon, not yet anyway, although I keep up my hopes. Bearing in mind the time of year, there could still be another group for 5 o'clock, and that would come in handy for us. Sometimes they tell me just 5 minutes before the start of the tour, and hope's the last thing you lose. So, just in case, I put my lunch in a Tupperware container. It's just a bit of salad from a bag with some pieces of cheese and a lot of dressing. I don't have time for more. I check that Merche's still fast asleep. Better not give her a kiss. Noise doesn't wake her up, but physical contact does, and she doesn't wake up in a good mood on occasions like that. And I head for the metro. I get out at Sara station a few minutes later. As often recently, I have problems with a chip in my wrist, and at first, the people at transit control don't want to let me out, as they think I don't have a permit for the city centre. I have to explain the problem with the chip to the people at security once again. Unfortunately, today's people are new, or at least they aren't familiar to me, and nor am I to them. Okay, I'm on a minimum wage, but that's just temporary. It was only last month's wage that didn't reach the requirement, and in any case, I do have a permit to work in the centre. They pass the laser over my wrist time and again, but it's no use, and finally, they have to look in the computer. They let me leave, fortunately, and also recommend I go to a health centre as soon as possible. Because of all that, I only just get to Concha, where we're meeting, on time. The Germans are already there, all of them wearing shorts. They'll get horribly burnt today, but that's their problem. And I'd sold my boss is there taking bio segways and the other devices out of the van. I help him take the last things out. "You're late," he says to me in his bitter way. No point explaining things to him. I give him my sweetest smile, and we finish putting everything down on the ground. We agree to meet up at Ondarreta at the end of the tour, and, unfortunately, he says there's still no group for the afternoon. Then he rushes off before they give him a fine. It's a group of 12, and they're all very different. I say hello to them and give out the headsets and augmented reality glasses, and we check that the inside microphones and headphones are working properly. I ask them their names, which I'll forget immediately. Then we do a short trial by the statue of Don Quixote and Sancho Panza, but fortunately, the devices are very intuitive, and I don't have to give them many explanations. What's more, I'd say that many of them have already used these things before. Meanwhile, I go over memory route B2 in my mind. First, I'll take them to the city hall to look at the bullet holes, and, with the pretext of the Republican forces' attack on the rebels holed up in the casino, I'll give them a general explanation about the Civil War. Then we'll go to Constitution Square, and, with the assistance of the augmented reality glasses, we'll reconstruct the ETA activist's flight in writer Ramón César Vitoria's canonical novel, 100 Metres. They'll be able to download the English translation of the book for a small supplement. Then we'll head off to Charcoal Street, and there, helped by augmented reality once again, we'll remember the street-fighting atmosphere, as well as trying a few pinchos in the reproduction of the People's Tavern, a few metres to the right of the original establishment. Then, along 31st August Street, after briefly mentioning the imperialist Spanish, English and French armies burning and pillaging of the city, we'll go to the boulevard and, walking in the opposite direction to so many of those Basque leftist demonstrations, we'll stop outside Good Shepherd Cathedral, where we'll see meetings in favour of the prisoners and use our glasses once more. Then we'll go up Aldapeta as far as La Cumbre Mansion to remember the torture and murder of Lasa and Zavala, helped by pictures from Pablo Malo's old film. And finally, after walking along Concha, while we look at some virtual pictures of the massive demonstration held there against the closure of Euskaldun Egunkaria newspaper, we'll go to Antigua district and stop outside the birthplace of Chillarnegui, the writer and founder of ETA, which was once also a civil guard barracks, and the route will end up at Ondarreta, at the place where there was once a prison, and where we'll finish off by explaining the start of the Civil War. We start off on the route without any problems. The simultaneous translation devices work quite well, apparently, and while I explain the 1936 uprising, I don't notice anything amiss on the faces of the people from Hamburg. It isn't the same when I talk to them about 100 metres, but that's to be expected to an extent. César Vitoria isn't very well known abroad, not even in alternative pro-Basque circles. But while I'm halfway through the explanation, a smart aleck raises his hand and asks, or rather, says that he has read somewhere that César Vitoria had wanted to express the uselessness of violence in that novel. He had in no way wanted to praise ETA. Very patiently, I talk to them about the context of the period, about the Franco regime, about the police kidnapping in the novel, about all the symbolic capital which came together when the book was published. I don't know if I convinced them, I don't think I did, but I should have taken that as a warning about what was going to happen when we reached Charcoal Street on our bio segues, because when I started telling them about repression and street resistance, the critical questions, interruptions and comments started, mostly about the Spanish transition and democracy's difficult, long journey. And I had to tell them firmly that I know all about it. I have a degree in history as well as a master's degree in cultural studies. But then it occurs to me that I've made a mistake, and the group from the squatters district in Hamburg wasn't the one coming today. That group was coming tomorrow, and when I ask, they confirm that they aren't from Hamburg, they're from Schleswig-Holstein. They arrived yesterday on a cruise ship which is going to be anchored at Pasaya port for 2 or 3 days. I want to sink into the earth. I have to improvise quickly by linking up with part of memory-guided tour B5 from where we are. Fortunately, adapting the virtual reality program isn't too hard, and having used it 4 days before with a group from Badajoz, it's still fresh in my memory. It's a matter of leaving Charcoal Street and taking the group, without making a big thing of it, to La Cepa Bar, where they shot City Councillor Gregorio Ordóñez dead, and there, after my explanation, we try some pinchos. Then we head to the boulevard and, using augmented reality, remember the destruction carried out by the Y groups back in the street fighting period. The hat-wearing people who used to violently empty buses and set fire to them are very good in that 3D recreation. Then we go to Good Shepherd Cathedral to imagine the murder of socialist Fernando Mujica, and going to Amara district to where the metro station used to be, I tell them about ETA's first victim, who died in 1960 when a bomb hidden in left luggage went off. I think I've finished as far as terrorist attack sites are concerned. It's a reasonable sample to summarise the deaths as a result of terrorism in Donostia during the 1980s. Then we go to see another emblematic place, the monument to the victims in front of the City Hall, and on to a couple of places featured in Fernando Aramburu's novel Patria, The Germans have the opportunity to download its translation for a small supplement. And finally, to Basterrechea's Dove of Peace statue, which is very good for imagining the silent demonstrations held by Gesto por la Paz, as well as the Basque leftists' counter-demonstrations at the same place, as happened, for instance, when José María Aldea was kidnapped and the yellow ribbon thing happened, even though the statue is no longer in its original place, it's now at Sagüez. Which reminds me that I have to call Aitzol and get him to go there to pick up the equipment and not to Ondarreta. The semi-improvised tour went without a hitch. I don't think the Germans even really saw there'd been a change. They all congratulate me, two of them even give me a tip, for which I thank them with my sweetest smile. Aitzol arrives late. I don't know if that's because he got my message late or if it's his infantile revenge for this morning. But there I was, on one side of the car at Sagüez, until Aitzol deigned to come. By the way, he still doesn't have any idea whether there's a group for this afternoon. He's received a couple of requests for information, but nothing sure. I don't think we're going to get lucky. But you never know, he adds, so if you hang on here. I go down to Suriola Beach with my salad and the can of Coca-Cola Zero I bought, taking advantage of some clouds blocking out the sun. I watch the surfers' mostly useless efforts as I have my snack lunch. I should put less pepper on my next salad. I doze off on the warm sand, and I check my mobile phone when I wake up, and, as I feared, there's no afternoon group. Then I call Merce to ask how the day's gone, and if she fancies going to visit Jasmina, and, if so, I could wait for her at Incharrondo station. Perhaps today we'll be able to feel Lourdes kicking inside Jasmina's belly. But I can't convince her. She starts off giving excuses, saying it's too late, and maybe we wouldn't find Jasmina there. I reply that she's always at home. She never objects to receiving a visit. And then Merce says that she still has a lot of work to do, which I don't believe, and it would be better another day. I don't want to argue with her. For a moment, I think about going to Errenteria by myself, but finally I give up on the idea and walk towards Sara station. I look at my phone again and check the next day's group. No doubt about it. They were going to be the people from Hamburg. Well, I still have what I'm going to do with them quite fresh in my mind, and at least I'm not going to have the same difficulties 2 days in a row. That's something in itself. If there were a second group in the afternoon, I'd make a complete day of it.